Cast. Presented by XFL2K.com. With your host, Tron Hawkins.
Welcome, this is the XFL Podcast. I'm your host, Tron Hawkins. Today is a different episode. I've been doing team previews. I want to kind of get away from that for this episode. I will return to it on the next one with the LA Wildcats. But, as you know, I work with the XFL Newsroom. I am part of the umbrella that is XFL Newsroom. And our new writer, Ben Wilgos, wrote an article called XFL Quarterback Roundup on XFL Newsroom. So I was going to go over that today, kind of talk to you about what he sees in these quarterbacks and what he thinks is going to happen, plus my thoughts on it. Ever since XFL started, we knew that the quality of the quarterback play was going to be the difference between this XFL and the original XFL. The quarterback play is going to be hugely improved over the original XFL. So I want to go over these quarterbacks. Some of the battles were interesting than others, especially with the three assigned quarterbacks that came out of the supplemental draft. However, come January, we're going to have even more. We're going to have to probably talk about it again. But right now, we're going to go over these quarterbacks, kind of break down the battles. I'll tell you what I see. I'll read what he thought. And we'll kind of break it down in this episode. It's going to be a very interesting episode, especially if you enjoy good, crisp quarterback play. So let's start with the most obvious one that we know is going to happen. We'll start in Dallas. Landry Jones was a former quarterback. His college statistics, he had 63.6 completion percentage, 16,646 yards, 123 touchdowns, 52 picks. Film analysis said he had a prolific career at Oklahoma, leading to a fourth-round selection by the Steelers. He spent 3 years backing up Ben and starting five total games. What I see you doing is time in Oklahoma, that Jones was very crisp and efficient in Bob Stoops offense, routinely getting the ball out on time. And he does process defenses pre-snap better than a lot of quarterbacks. He has average mobility. However, he is very good when throwing on the run. Stoops' system requires Jones to throw quite a bit of timing routes and to get the ball out quick. Assuming Stoops runs a similar offense, Jones will fit like a glove in the scheme, and Dallas fans should be excited what lies ahead. We all knew, that I've been saying this since the beginning, when Landry Jones was in the first showcase, or announced for the showcase, that he was going to be Bob Stoops' quarterback. It makes all the sense in the world. You know, when you got a guy, when you got a coach that's also the GM, he's going to get guys he's comfortable with. That's why he picked the Oklahoma guys. Landry Jones has played with some of these guys before. He knows them like a glove. And that's why Dallas is the favorite in the XFL world. In the betting world right now. Not my favorite. But they're the favorite to win the West. My favorite to win the West as well. Backup's Philip Nelson. He had a 59.1 completion percentage at Minnesota and Eastern Carolina. 4,800 passing yards. 33 touchdowns, 22 picks. During his time at East Carolina, Nelson was a very solid passer. His very good ability to move within the pocket and set his feet for throws. His arm certainly is not elite, but since for timing routes and ability to put the ball in the spot the only receiver can go and get is extremely impressive. His mobility is nothing special, but he can evade pressure when he needs to. He says if Landry Jones goes down with injury, Nelson will be a very good fit for Stoops' offense. He's a strong backup. My thing is, though, he's not Landry Jones. I think if Landry Jones gets hurt, they're in trouble, and Houston or LA will end up winning the division by season's end. The outlook for this matchup is clear-cut and straightforward. Landry Jones has the largest pedigree and resume of any other quarterback in the league. Bob Stoops is running the show in Dallas. It's almost impossible to see Nelson beating out Jones. And I agree. So, DC defenders. Now, this is a little more interesting. You got Cardale Jones. His statistics, 61 in college, 61.9% completion percentage, 2,323 passing yards, 15 touchdowns, 7 picks. But a national championship and a Big Ten championship. Even though he only made 11 starts in college, Cardale Jones showed good enough traits to get himself drafted in the fourth round 2016 draft with only 11 starts. When watching tape, one thing clearly stands out. He has a very strong arm, can make just about any possible throw anywhere on the field. He also has an incredible finesse when throwing. He stands 6'5" tall and weighs 250 pounds. He's not an easy guy to take down in the pocket. His mobility is not terrible. He does have a variety of weaknesses, however. He struggles to read defenses pre-snap, and he struggles to hit timing routes on time. And he also tends to stare down the first read, which leads him to getting picked off. And if anybody can get him developed, though, it's Pip Hamilton. He has physical traits to be an MVP-caliber player, but it all boils down to the mental side. Now, this is where it gets interesting. The backup is Tyree Jackson, who I think is a great quarterback as well, and could have been a tier one for another team. In college, when more starts, obviously, he had a 55.8 completion percentage from almost 7,000 yards. He had 6,999 passing yards, 49 touchdowns, 24 picks. Jackson was projected to be selected in later rounds in the 2019 draft, but fell off the boards and went undrafted. He came to camp with Buffalo Bills, but was released before camp was over. What jumps out on the tape? Immediately is Jackson's size. Same thing. 6'7", though, 249 pounds. He's also a very good athlete. Very often extended plays with his feet. And his frame is very hard to take down. They pretty much drafted Cardale Jones. They got two Cardale Joneses. His arm strength can rival even the best NFL quarterbacks. Another plus is his ability to extend plays and throw on the run in tight windows. He did this many times at Buffalo and extremely impressive. But he also struggles above the shoulders mentally, like Cardale Jones does. He's very inaccurate and struggles to get the ball out on time. He falls into bad habits of heaving the ball downfield against two high safeties. This is Cardale Jones' job, that Luke says, but there's an injury, or if he makes too many mistakes, don't be surprised if Tyree Jackson comes in and plays really well. Both Jones and Jackson are perfect fits for Pep Hamilton's scheme. I think it's going to be a team that will love to air the ball out downfield and let the receivers run under it. Jones and Jackson are very similar in strengths and weaknesses, and I think Jackson has a unique opportunity to develop behind a player so similar. Both these quarterbacks are in a great spot to succeed, and they're going to be an explosive offense come February. Next up, that I think is the most interesting quarterback matchup, and that's in Houston. The assigned quarterback was Philip Walker. He had a 56.9 completion percentage, 10,668 yards passing, 74 touchdowns, 44 picks at Temple, which is not a known, amazing school. The film analysis, running Jones, June Jones, running shoot offense, no small task. But I think Philip Walker is exactly perfect prototype for the scheme. Walker's a bit undersized, standing 5'11", 216 pounds. However, I don't think this will matter that much in Jones' system in his running shoot. You're generally in the shotgun, meaning that Walker will be able to read the defenses without his size being too much of a factor. His biggest strength is his ability to throw the ball downfield accurately and at times in the tight covers. He also does touch throws on deep balls. He gives receivers a chance every time to catch the ball. He has above average mobility and a knack for extended plays with his feet. When he's chased out of the pocket, he simply just makes things happen. His biggest weakness, however, is consistency as well as timing. Then you got Connor Cook. This is what got shocking to me. They had a signed quarterback like Philip Walker, or P.J. Walker, as you've known, at Temple. And then the second overall pick in the skill position draft, they take Connor Cook. Connor Cook had a 57.5 completion percentage, 9,194 yards passing, 71 touchdowns, and 22 interceptions. Cook had a very decorated career at Michigan State, leading him to be taken in the fourth round by the Oakland Raiders. He made his first career start in a road playoff game in Houston and never played another NFL game after that. Just in a bad situation. First game, wild card. You know what I'm saying? I really like the fit here with Cook and Jones' system. Cook loves to air it out and we can be a gunslinger, and that's exactly what this system promotes. I love his arm strength. He simply makes throws others cannot, and he has great anticipation when throwing to his first read. He struggles at times, though, to find other reads as well as reading defenses for snap. He doesn't have very good mobility, but he will stand in the pocket and take a hit under pressure. A weakness of his is consistent accuracy, as well as sometimes not getting his feet set before making a throw. But one thing that really jumps out on the tape, Connor Cook is never scared to make any throw at any time, which makes everything with confidence and conviction. He is really a true gunslinger. His outlook says Houston is in a great spot with both Walker and Cook being perfect fits for the system they are in. This is going to be an absolute battle all camp long and could even continue into the season. He thinks Connor Cook is the better quarterback and better fit for the system. I think it could go either way. It's really cool what June Jones wants to do. Philip Walker, he's mobile. He can make it happen. Where Connor Cook, they don't have a lot of mobility. So he's really quite an offensive line. The offensive line's great for Houston. Connor Cook might be the quarterback. If they're not, though, James Jones is like, okay, we're going to need somebody that can run and extend the play. I, too, though, believe Connor Cook will win the job. He'll be starting week one for them the first Saturday when they play L.A. So watch out. Connor Cook will probably be the starting quarterback, I do believe, week one. Next up is a job that wasn't interesting until the supplemental draft, and that's L.A. Wildcats. Luis Perez was a signed quarterback. He went to Texas A&M Commerce. His college statistics, 67.5 completion percentage, 8,327 yards, 78 touchdowns, and just 16 picks. But at Texas A&M Commerce, so we don't know what the level of competition is there. In Division II, Texas A&M Commerce, Perez put up some amazing numbers, he says, leading his team to a national championship. He didn't have any NFL interest, however. So he went to the route of the Alliance of American Football. He was solid with the Birmingham Iron and won a lot of games, but never put up impressive numbers. From his film with the iron, I think Perez can be summed up pretty simply. He's a game manager. He doesn't have any traits that make him special. However, he does generally make good decisions and limits the mistakes. His anticipation is average and his mobility is not nothing to write home about. He has pretty good touch on medium to deep sideline throws, but his arm strength is not nothing super special either. One thing I do like about him, he says, is that he routinely goes through all his reads and doesn't lock them to a specific wide receiver per snap. Perez can definitely win games if he had a strong running game and a good defense, but he just hasn't shown the talent necessary to be counted on to carry him. The good thing is, Elijah Hood is his running back, and they got a good defense, I think, there with some of the players they picked. So that might be, I mean, okay, so of course the quarterbacks was assigned before the draft. But when they got assigned Perez, they kind of had to know, okay, we're going to have to get a good running game and a good defense. And that's what they did. They kind of had that. Winston Moss had that planned out. However, they got assigned Josh Johnson, a player who Detroit Lions wanted. And they said, no, he signed a contract already. That's interesting. So we're talking about Josh Johnson. This man has played University of San Diego for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, Cleveland Browns, Cincinnati Bengals, San Francisco 49ers, Indianapolis Colts, New York Giants, Texans, and the Redskins throughout his career. In college, he had 9,699 yards, 113 touchdowns, and just 15 interceptions. Josh Johnson is an NFL journeyman and can decline a few opportunities to be a backup again in order to come to the XFL. I believe Johnson simply wants to be the starter and doesn't care about the money anymore. That being said, I really like what I've seen from him on tape. Looking at the playing time with the Redskins last season, he shows a veteran poise in the pocket. Played for a horrible team and led them some wins. And always looks comfortable. He has great mobility and his looseness is not terrible. He manipulates the pocket well and is good when throwing on the run. His arm strength is not amazing, but he shows an ability to get through all his reads and constantly makes his throws on time. A big weakness, however, is an inability to efficiently make downfield throws. And his deep ball touch isn't great either. While his arm strength is below average, he has enough positive traits to make up for it. Outlook. Winston Moss and Norm Chow will certainly have a difficult decision ahead of them, whether it's start this high quarterback Perez or the NFL journeyman Johnson. In my opinion, I think Johnson will be the day one starter. He has more positive traits than Perez, and while neither quarterback will set the world on fire with a downfield passing, Johnson has better anticipation and mobility and timing than Perez. Either one can win with a good running game, which I think they would have. Fans of LA should be happy that their coaches had such a tough decision with Norm Chow at the head. Here's my thing. Who do I think Norm Chow will get the most out of? Josh Johnson, if I'm being honest. My pick is also Josh Johnson. As soon as they assign Josh Johnson, I'm like, Josh Johnson will be day one starter. So day one, that first Saturday, the nightcap could be Josh Johnson against Connor Cook. The next quarterback battle is St. Louis Battlehawks. Jordan Tomu was their assigned starter. He is the youngest quarterback in the league. His college statistics, 64.5 completion percentage for 5,600 passing yards, 30 touchdowns, and 12 picks. Jordan Tomu is a very unique situation, as he only spent very minimal time with NFL teams. However, he did have impressive seasons in his senior year at Ole Miss. He ranked second behind Tua in passing yards for the SEC. He says, I really like Tomu's film. He is an extremely raw prospect, but he shows his inability to do a lot of things well. His best traits is deep ball. He loves to sling it downfield and is normally very accurate in doing so. He has incredible touch on deep sideline throws, always giving his receivers a chance to make a play. He is outstanding on the run as well, with his arm strength on the run being NFL caliber. When he sets his feet and drives the ball to the middle of the field with conviction, he has a lot of zip on it. His biggest weakness, however, is anticipation. He really struggles when he needs to deliver a ball before a receiver breaks off his route. Additionally, when watching the film, you can clearly see his inexperience. He struggles correctly to adjust his protection and read zone coverage. Overall, he has a lot of talent, and I think he needs more experience in reading defenses for him to be successful. His inability to react positively to difficult defensive schemes could be his undoing. Here's my thing. He's awesome. He finished second in passing yards in SEC. I get it. However, his weapons was A.J. Brown, DK Metcalf, and Knox, the tight end who's now in Buffalo Bills, tearing it up with Josh Allen. How much of it was him, and how much of it was the talent around him? That's one thing I don't trust about Jordan Tomu. Last episode about the Battlehawks, I said their quarterback, if they can just get the quarterback right, they could be in the Eastern Finals. But that's a big if. So second, you had Tyler Haneke. 67.7% out of Dominion completion percentage in college. 14,959 passing yards, 132 picks, and 39 interceptions. Heineke had a very successful career at Old Dominion and bounced around the NFL for making his first start with the Panthers last season. Unfortunately, he suffered a left arm injury, and even though he had a very good preseason, the Panthers cut ties due to roster space, which happens. I really like what Heineke brings to the table. He is somebody who does not thrive on arm strength, but he relies on football IQ and timing to be successful. His arm strength does have a lot to be desired, but his touch on sideline throws can make up for it. His anticipation is great. I love his ability to manipulate the pocket, and he is a great improviser when chased out of it. A big weakness of his, however, while playing with the Panthers, is that he locked on a receiver pre-snapped, which led to a few interceptions. Heineke definitely has potential to be successful. His arm talent weighs him down. So this is difficult. The situation more than most is Tamu, and he has completely opposite skill sets. Jonathan Hayes and offensive coordinator Doug Meacham will simply need to decide what type of offense they want to run, and that will make their decision pretty easy. Now, they want to go with more explosive downfield passer than Tamu is a choice, but they want a game manager and rely on the running game, which they have Christine Michael. Taylor Heineke is the answer. I like both these guys, and they show good traits. Battlehawks are definitely a good spot with two unique options. I think they want to run the ball and play good defense, so I think. And as I said, I want Jordan Holman to start, but I think Hennessy's going to be the guy week one against Dallas. And they're going to get blown out, probably, to be honest with you, against Dallas. Like I said in the Battlehawks episode, last episode, they have to get the quarterback right. I think they're going to run the ball with Christine Michael and play good defense. That's why I think they're going to go more game manager. I'm hoping I'm wrong, but I think they're going to go game manager out. So I think Taylor's going to be the choice week one. Next up is the Seattle Dragons with one of my favorite quarterbacks, Brandon Silvers. Who is a Facebook friend? I'm going to say any name. You know, not going to be acting like a big shot. But he's a Facebook friend of mine. Love the kid. Awesome. XFL newsroom. Steven interviewed him. The ref. Great interview with him. Just a down-to-earth kind of guy. Just a boy from Troy University. He beat LSU. Again, I've said this before. He has some big-ass balls. You go to LSU and beat them in Death Valley. And they could be national championships this year, like 2 or 3 years later. Sivers went undrafted in the 2018 NFL draft and did not get a training camp offer from after rookie minicamps. He decided the AAF route and began the season as a third string beside Mettenberger and Christian Hackenberg for the Memphis Express. But at the end of the shortened season, he had got some playing time and capitalized on his opportunity, showing some really good ability and flashes from his college tape. A few things stand out for me, especially in his 2017 game against LSU. He had quite a run of confidence in his arm and definitely not afraid to make those throws in the tight windows. His arm strength overall looks pretty good, and he seems to move well in the pocket. In the Troy spread system, he didn't need to make full field reads like pro quarterbacks do, but the time will tell if he has developed that skill since college. He's not really played much since college. That's the kicker there. There are several instances where he does process that his first read is covered and then shows a good ability to improvise and keep his eyes downfield to lock, to look for an open receiver. He has sneaky mobility for his size. He runs pretty well. His arm action is pretty long and funky. It takes him a while to get the ball out, allowing the defense to have a better chance at closing on the play. If his arm action has tightened up a bit, this will definitely help him out on throwing routes. From the film, I think he processes defensive pre-snap pretty well, which is an important trait to have after college ball. Overall, after watching the film, I like Silvers a lot more than I thought I would. I think his arm action definitely can hinder him a bit, but he shows a lot of good traits that can help him make up for it. Now, his competition is Chase Litton, who was just assigned to them in some middle draft, which shocked a lot of people. In college at Marshall, he has a 60.8 completion percentage, 8,335 passing yards, 72 touchdowns, 31 picks. Litton declared for 2018 NFL draft as a junior. Unfortunately, he wasn't selected in the rounds. He latched onto the Kansas City Chiefs practice squad for the last year or so, but was cut in the fall after a quick stint with Jaguars. Litton signed with the XFL and was assigned before the supplemental draft. Going to the film, he looks to me like a very raw prospect. He flashes in his ability to drop the ball in the bucket down the sidelines, but he's very inconsistent in doing so. His anticipation is pretty good at times, but I see far too many plays where he's getting late getting the ball out to the receiver off his break. As most young and experienced quarterbacks do, he shows a lot of indecisiveness when he can throw to his primary target, and that sometimes leads to him taking sacks instead of progressing through his reads. That being said, Litton has very good arm strength even when he's off balance.
But when he throws in the middle field, it's even better. He does have a tendency to pull his left shoulder too quick when throwing to the left. Generally does a good job in getting his feet set, making good, clean throws. Clinton is another raw young prospect, but I see potential in his playmaking and explosiveness. I think he has some time to learn and improve, but I can see him challenging Silver for playing time by season's end.
Seattle, to me, their team's kind of built weird with their running back to receivers. They got very good wide receivers, though. He says, I see this pretty clear cut race with Silver far ahead of Litton and the third stringer B.J. Daniels, who could be second string. I think Silver shows a lot of poise and polish than Litton. And while I don't think Silver's be an MVP front runner, I think Jim Zorn will be able to run a solid offense when Silver's at the helm. I think Seattle will have a very good strong run game to help him out. Silver should be good enough to win, but I wouldn't be shocked if Litton's named the starter later on the year to give the Dragons a spark. I like Silver's.
Do I think he's going to go into D.C. and beat Cardale Jones week one in the opening game?
No. But I do like him. I don't like Seattle much as a team because really the coach, I don't like them to win a lot. But he can be a quarterback whisperer because he used to play quarterback. So watch out for him turning one of these two guys into superstars or at least a very good quarterback come 2020.
Next up, we have Tampa Bay Vipers. And these next two aren't really contested at all. Aaron Murray was the assigned quarterback for the Vipers in college at the University of Georgia, Go Dawgs. He had 62.3 completion percentage for 13,166 passing yards, 121 touchdowns, 41 picks. Despite coming out of Georgia as an SEC all-time leader in touchdowns and passing yards, Murray wasn't highly regarded by NFL teams going into the 2014 draft. He had a season-ending ACL tear that definitely didn't help his draft stock, as well as his smaller stature at 6'1". That being said, Murray does have a lot of things, and he is certainly worthy of his Tier 1 quarterback status. Murray's biggest strength is his football IQ. He is great at diagnosing defenses and switching up the protection pre-snap. His arm talent is great. His arm strength is well above average, allowing him to make just about any throw on the field with good accuracy. Most of the time. Another plus is his mobility as he has a knack for navigating the pocket and scrambling when pressured. He doesn't have a lot of weaknesses, as he is solid all around. In the AAF, he struggled to win the starting job for the Atlanta Legends, which doesn't make a lot of sense. He certainly is possible that this was due to incompetent coaching or something in his skill set. That being said, if he plays the level he did in college, Vipers fans should be getting a very solid quarterback to lead them this spring. Here's my thing. The Atlanta Legends was a damn dumpster fire. I mean, it was literally a dumpster fire. They don't know what the hell they're doing. They lost their head coach. They lost their offensive coordinator like a couple weeks before the season started, and they sucked. And the whole AAF kind of sucked. It's not Aaron Murray's fault. I think he's going to be great in XFL because they put talent around him. Trashman built this team around Aaron Murray. Let's look at the outlook. There isn't a true competition of any kind here. Murray should be far and away the starter, as Tess Verdi and Cornelius are first-year pros that could show some problems down the road but aren't anywhere near ready to challenge Murray for the starting job. Watt Trestman is known as an offensive guru, and despite his struggles to run his offense efficiently in the NFL, he should be able to do so to coordinate one of the top units in the XFL. Murray looks to be the perfect prototype for Trestman's West Coast scheme, and the Vipers to be very good hands with this duo. Talking about quarterback whisperers, he's it. Trestman is a quarterback whisperer. Aaron Murray and him together could do some magic. I'm kind of worried about the team, though. There's a bunch of, I don't want to say no names, but guys we never heard of, but Trestman, he knows something. I don't think Tampa's going to win the East this year, but they have a very interesting team. We'll see week one against the Nick that I'm talking about and the New York Guardians, Matt McGloin. Matt McGloin at Penn State, 57.4 completion percentage, 6,390 passing yards, 46 touchdowns, 19 picks. McGloin is an NFL journeyman, making a handful of NFL starts and bouncing around from the practice squads as well. He is the definition of a scrapper, going to Penn State as a walk-on. Going undrafted in the NFL. He's an older guy and a veteran, and it shows on tape. He has a lot of poise and does not panic very often. I think his best trait is his ability to make his way through all of his reads and to process what he is seeing on the defense. He is consistently is on time with his throws, which helps make up for his average arm strength. Surprisingly, his mobility is not bad, as he can run pretty well, and his throws on the move are generally pretty accurate. While his arm strength is not his best skill, he can put enough zip on the ball where he gets his feet set to make a throw into a tight window. Overall, I really like McGloin. I think his experience as well as his IQ will help make him one of the better XFL quarterbacks this spring. There isn't much competition here, as Matt McGloin's far and away be the starter. Kim Gilbride was an offensive coordinator for the number of years, and it is no surprise he wanted a polished NFL veteran to run his scheme. Gilbride worked Eli Manning for a long time. While McGowan is not as good as Eli was in his prime, I think they both have similar traits. That should help Gilbride's offense translate to McGowan. Marquise Williams will probably be the backup, but I don't think he has much of a realistic chance to beating him. Like I said before, I think McGowan really does have a chance to be one of the better quarterbacks in the league, and the Guardians fans should be excited about getting a guy with that much experience. I'm not a big Matt McGowan guy, but the way Gilbride's offense runs, it makes sense for him to be the guy there. They want him kind of a game manager kind of deal, but he can make throws when he needs to. Again, I think the East is DC and St. Louis and everybody else. But if Tampa and New York can hit with their quarterbacks with Murray and McGloin, watch out. And then two play week one in New York, so it's going to be interesting to see. One of those two teams is going to be 1-0, getting a jump. Here's the thing, though. When they play each other, where the other two Eastern teams play the West, who I think the West have better teams up and down than the East does. One of the two teams could be in first place. They could be in first place in the week one. I'm just saying. I don't like McGloin that much, but he does have experience. He's probably one of the most experienced quarterbacks with NFL experience other than Landry Jones. So, I mean, he could be a sleeper pick. Maybe not MVP top, like the Joneses. But he could be a solid pick, especially with Gilbride being another quarterback whisperer. That's, a lot of these coaches are quarterback whisperers in this league. To sum it up, I think the quarterbacks are well and above anything we thought they would be. We knew Landry Jones. We wasn't ready for Cardale. We wasn't ready for Brandon Silvers. We wasn't ready for Luis Perez and all them, and P.J. Walker, Philip Walker. We didn't even speculate on those guys. Even Aaron Murray was kind of left field. I was excited when I seen the quarterbacks. Now with even more coming in, and even more coming in probably in January after the NFL cutdowns. It's going to be an interesting 2 months leading up to week one. Very excited for it. Our next episode is going to be about the LA Wildcats. I'll talk more about the quarterback competition. I won't talk too much about it, but we'll get into more players for the Wildcats. We'll do a team breakdown like I've been doing everybody else. That should come out one day this week, hopefully, maybe this weekend. But thank you for listening. Thank you for giving me 1 year of this beautiful podcast. I got some more stuff I'm going to be working on for this podcast. I'm going to try to get out as much stuff as possible leading up to the season. When the season starts, I'll be doing game previews and game reviews. That'll be all I'll be doing pretty much come season. But I'm so excited. And a lot of the previews and reviews will be unedited, so cut me some slack. I'm going to try to get them out as quick as possible, right after games and stuff like that. So thank you. Thank you so much for listening, and I will see y'all next time.